Acts chapter number 7. And I'm going to just kind of skip down through some verses to, for sake of reading, okay? Verse number 20. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds.
When he was full 40 years old, he came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Verse 29, then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Madian. The Bible in the Old Testament pronounced Midian, spelled Midian, where he begat 2 sons. 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai.
It's Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Go on down in verse number 36. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, and the angel which spake unto him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turn back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, ye have offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness. Question. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus. This is Joshua he's speaking of, into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find
a tabernacle for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. That's as far as I'll read. Wonderful preaching here by Stephen and the deacon. You know, there are a lot of pastors today will say that a deacon can't be a preacher, or a preacher can't be a deacon. Well, Stephen is a very proof of a preacher that was a deacon. But his preaching to them, his defense, we're not getting into all that, but I love this wonderful message, the excerpt of the life of Moses and the ministry that God gave him, and then the introduction of the tabernacle. After that, they had made gods to carry in their hand, to worship them. And how that they'd turned away after God had done so much for them. In less than 40 years that they had done this. Now, so, the thought that I wanted to look at, bring some introduction to this, and then a spiritual thought in the mind is, let's look in verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. You remember the tabernacle in the wilderness? The tent, the skirt of the wall, and even on the inside of that tent or tabernacle, it had the place of offering, had the wash basin on the outside, and then in the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and where God met with the high priest and with Moses. Now, so they had the tabernacle of witness, and it's mentioned, I've preached this before, about the tabernacle of the congregation. It is the tabernacle of testimony, it's mentioned. That it is. This tabernacle is of witness is the same in the wilderness. And he specifically gave that the tabernacle of witness. This was God's witness to them that he existed, that he was their God, their deliverer, their Savior. They were to walk with him and by his commandments and by his word. That he would be their God and they would be his people, saith the Lord. And so that's why it's a tabernacle of witness. Every time that those the tribe, the Levites put that up, they knew God was with them. He would speak to them. And when it come time to take it down, and follow either the cloud by day or the fire by night, it was the Levites again that packed everything up. And which also our fathers that came after brought in, that's in the Canaan land with Jesus, Joshua. He mentions Jesus because Joshua was the type of the Savior bringing them fully into deliverance in the Canaan land. And so, into the possession of the Gentiles, all the lands that he said that he would give them. The Amorites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and, all those that he had mentioned. Every kind of might and might you could possibly think of. Amen? God said, I will drive them out They were going to inherit houses that they didn't build, vineyards that they didn't plant, a land flowing with milk and honey. And it truly is, truly was. So, he talked about in verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. Think about that. What a glorious thing that it was that they had in that tabernacle. Listen, that wasn't just any old tent they threw up out there. And they couldn't just pop up any old thing. Are you listening to me? This was made by design. It was given, God-given by design. God gave Moses the perfect design up on the mountain. And so this was a place where God said, I can dwell there. This is the place that I can meet with you. That's pretty good, amen? I mean, they wanted to have a place that they could meet with God, that they could see their God, that their God could see them. Of course, he always saw them, but they wanted to see the presence of the Lord, the power of God. They wanted to know their God was with them, and who doesn't? We still today want to know that our God is with us. Now, so the fathers had the tabernacle of witness, and I'll get back to that, in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. I want to, just for a little bit, preach about this thought. Having the desire to find a tabernacle for God. Having a desire to find a tabernacle for God, or to be, rather, a tabernacle for God. A dwelling place for God. Now, you know the story. You know that David had got it in his heart to build God an house, something that was established in one place, a beautiful place, something more beautiful than the outside drab of, and all of that had purpose, that tabernacle that God gave to Moses by design. And the children of Israel set up that tabernacle in Shiloh. That's where God set up the tabernacle. That's where God met with them, was in Shiloh. And it was until later on that they built that house, that temple in Jerusalem, that the glory of God moved from Shiloh to Jerusalem, a house to dwell in. Now you wonder, what happened, the thought come to me, what happened to that tabernacle? What happened to the tabernacle? Where did it go? They packed it up. Where did it go? Well, they certainly kept it. They were led in charge of keeping it. And you can read in 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 5 that they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. This was at the dedication of the temple.
This was when Solomon had finally built the temple. So they had, up until that time, they still had the tabernacle. They brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation. Brought it up. It was going to the house. And the holy vessels, all that was by design. Listen, this is not something to just lay aside or to cast aside. This was not something that could just be put up, you know, put away. Are you listening to me? Just forgot about. Or everybody say, well, I'd sure like to have that one portion of the tent over there, you know, to make me a nice prayer room with. Or no, this was God's tabernacle of witness. It had been with them throughout the wilderness journey. God had dwelt inside of that tabernacle. What I'm getting at is this. A tabernacle of God once is always a tabernacle of God. And this tabernacle wasn't going anywhere. There are a lot of people wondered what had happened to it. You read, where's the last place that you find of it? You know, that it seems like, well, it seems like that, you know, when the Babylonians had come in, and they had trampled down Judah, and they destroyed Solomon's temple. A lot of stuff was taken. Well, if you read in the book of Revelations, and I've got it marked, they didn't take that tabernacle. God took the tabernacle. God took that tabernacle. But before all of that, when they were in this place that we're reading about, I love studying about the tabernacle and its meaning and the essence of it. And try to remind myself that you and I are vessels unto honor, tabernacles of witness, tabernacle, a place for God to dwell. I don't see the grand design a lot of times of that, or the sincerity of our lives and what they should be. Being a true tabernacle for God, a place. But I have a desire to be a tabernacle for God, to have a true place for God to dwell, to have a place that God would be satisfied to dwell. That's what they were looking for. Solomon wanted to build a house. He wanted to build that house that God would dwell in, because he said, God doesn't build or stay in temples, dwell in temples made with hands. Dwell as abide. Abide. Stay constantly. Do you know that the church, the believer, is the constant dwelling place of God is concerning tabernacle? He never leaves us. Now our God is in heaven. There's a tabernacle in heaven. A tabernacle, a true tabernacle. Amen? But then there is that tabernacle that God had given to Moses to design. And Solomon's temple, made with hands, was run over. But God has a people, you and I, that are tabernacles for Him. Think about that. When I thought about what they had, when I was looking at this and thinking about that earlier tabernacle, that earlier tent that they had put us, I mean, that was well enough. That was well enough. God was pleased. He had been pleased to dwell with them there. Somehow, David wanted more. He wanted more for God, something stationary. Evidently, in David's eyes, that tent was not enough. It was drab on the outside. Maybe David didn't get, I don't know, maybe he didn't get all the significance like we know of that tabernacle. Amen? The outside, that drab, that speaks of the humanity of our Lord. I mean, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. That was the outside of that tab. When people saw it on the outside, it was just that old gray and brown drab skins on the top. But on the inside was the wonder of the gold and the silver and the jewels. Are you listening to me? And all the brass settings and the glory of the Lord that would fill that house. The Word of God that inside the holy place, inside the holy place. Now listen, if I'm going to be a tabernacle for God, a real tabernacle for God, then I have to have a holy place where the Word of His, the ark of His testimony, amen, His Word dwells within us. What God has deemed as precious, amen, that bread fellowship that you and I sup with Him and He with us, that inward, that is where you and I will find that fellowship, amen, all to be a tabernacle for Him. To have, to be a house, a tabernacle for the God of Jacob, for the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. An appointed, and He hath appointed us, amen? That's what our Father, verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle of wilderness, a witness in the wilderness as He had appointed, speaking unto Moses. We're appointed to this. What a great calling that you and I are to be the tabernacle of God. A place for God to move and work through and work in. God help us. God help us. I don't want to have gods set before the Lord. I don't want to have calves. Are you listening? Things made of my own hands standing in the way. Oh my. But to truly be able to worship the Lord, to truly be, again, as I had said, that God breathed, that God said, this is a place where I can dwell. It's not a place where I think God can dwell, but a place where God said, this is a place I can dwell. Do you believe in holiness? Surely you do. The Bible tells us to be holy, for I'm holy. Amen? You and I are to be sanctified, set apart, meet for the Master's use. That means to be usable for a specific purpose. That specific purpose, to be a tabernacle for God. They saw that when they had that tent, when they had come in, verse 45, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers, did that with the tabernacle, who found favor before God. Under the days of David, who found favor before God. David was the one that found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. You know, there's only No doubt there were several different purposes for which David, if we study, would have been different from the old tabernacle to this tabernacle that David was wanting to build for God. The first, it was a habitation. Place that God could be in and stay in. A habitat for God. A place that you knew God was always there. It wasn't ever packed up. Wasn't ever put away. It was always on display. We cannot hide who we are from the world. We cannot roll ourselves away into a cart and then travel to somewhere else and then set back up again. David, he wanted that tabernacle that God could habitat, stay and dwell in. He was always there on display. Always there. No matter any time they looked toward that place, they were looking toward the God of heaven. He was there in his house. That's what David wanted. But we, again, so many times we want to pack our tabernacle up, put it away for a while, then get it back out again. Put it on display. And all the gloriousness that it is. But then it's folded up again. Don't fold your life up. Listen, don't fold your life up like that. We desire to be a habitation. A habitation for God. Always on display. For the world to see. Amen. Not looking at us, seeing Him. Not the people looking at me, no, nor you, no, but Him. To see the God of heaven that dwells in that place. That place without God is nothing but earthly material. Isn't that right? That place without God is nothing but earthly material. And man's idea. Apart from God, it's only man's idea. You know, I want something more than just my idea as to what this tabernacle should be. I want God to tell me how the sockets are supposed to be fitly made. How the curtain is to be. How big the wash basin should be, which is unlimited, amen? How the room for the table of showbread, for the lamps on the light of the candlestick, and the place of the Holy of Holies, and the design. I want God's design on my life. I want that more than man's idea. See, the idea to build a house was David's. But the way it was built was God's. If you're going to build it, I'm going to habitat there, I'm going to dwell there, this is the way it needs to be. Amen? There are no shortcuts.
There are no shortcuts. They use the very best. Right there, it stabs me. I don't give God my very best always. I need to give God my very best always. He deserves my very best. He deserves my very best. I forgot what it was I was thinking about the other day. Somebody was, you know, I even forget what it was that they were saying. But it brought to my mind how that God said, let us present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Our very best, our life is just reasonable service that God would ask for. I'm not doing some great thing. Are you listening? Just by being a tabernacle. Desiring to find a tabernacle for the Lord. Desiring to be a tabernacle for the Lord. To be a permanent place. A place that our God can dwell. A place that God has designed. My life, your life. The design of God. The will of God. With purpose. What purpose? My life's purpose, your life's purpose is what? Well, I was supposed to be I really believe with all my heart I was supposed to fly jets for the Air Force. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to worship my God. God made us to worship Him. God made us to fellowship with Him. Our lives, our whole being, our whole purpose is to be given to Him. That's what it is. And there's nothing any higher that you and I, Lord of mercy, I wish that I had more time. Solomon built him a house. I thought about that. What one man could not do, another did. David couldn't. Why? Because his hands were hands of war. They were hands of blood. There are things that keep me from... that would keep us from building a tabernacle for God. Hindrances. But then, getting to a place like Solomon, the place that he was in right then when he had this, was the best place he had ever been in his life. Because he didn't want nothing of this world's goods. God said, Solomon, what do you want? Wisdom. Wisdom and understanding. To lead your people. This multitude that the Bible says in Solomon's day. Listen to this. What did God promise Abraham? He said, Abraham, he said, all the nations of earth be blessed because of you. And in thy seed, he said, your seed, it'll be as the sands of the sea. Do you know in the days of Solomon, he said, your people are as the sands of the sea, innumerable? That's what Solomon said. There are so many and so great. How could I judge them? How could I know how to be king to them? He didn't want his enemy. God said, you didn't ask for your enemies to be slain. You didn't ask for great riches. You didn't ask for all these things of the world, Solomon. You didn't ask for that. Remember that? He was in the best place of his life because all his heart was geared on
being what only God could make him. There was a time in Solomon's life that he didn't hold nothing back of his own hand. I think I'm going to, this is what's going to make me happy. I'm going to get it. He made himself a man that he thought he wanted to be. But before that, he came to the Lord and he knew he could only be this way if God made him this way. God, give me wisdom that I don't have. That's the way to build a tabernacle. Amen. That's the way to build a place for God. It's get in the place where you say, Lord, you've got to do something for me. I don't have it. God, I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your help. I need you to do something for me. I am not going to be what I need to be if you don't make me that way. It's the only way we can be if God makes us. Listen, God knows when our desire is there and when it ain't there. God, help us to be that way. God, help me to truly desire. I beg the Lord here lately, Lord, help me to be humble. I don't want pride in my life in some way, shape, or form to hinder your Holy Spirit of seeing people saved here. Thinking that I'm something when I'm nothing. God, I don't want this working against, Lord, you. I don't want anything in my life working against the working of God. Let me say that again. I don't want anything in my life working against the working of God. I need His help to get me in that place. You do too. Amen. Because I don't want to be like those Israelites. When they had the lively oracles given unto them, given unto us, he said, the lively oracles given unto us. My goodness. The living doctrines that produce obedience in the life when yielded to. They would have believed those lively oracles. Well, they would have never made those calves. They'd have never looked to Moloch and his tabernacle. Yeah, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch. They traded the tabernacle of God for the tabernacle of Moloch. The glory. Think about the glory that came into Solomon's temple. Remember that? That's what they traded off for a bunch of little shiny gods that they could carry around when they left that tabernacle. The tabernacle of Moloch. Was it prettier than God's on the outside? What was it? Prettier to the eye? I don't know. I don't know what it looked like. But they traded one tabernacle for another. People today, that's what they do. They trade God's tabernacle for another. Lord, help us. I don't want to do that, do you? They would not obey. Our fathers would not obey. Would not. There's so much in there, so much. But I desire
as they did when they came in. They had the tabernacle there. They said, "We want a tabernacle for God, a dwelling place for Him, something that's not packed up, put away, something that God can stay in always." Amen. I want you to stand. I'm done.